Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. I was on a little bit of a break last week, so hopefully people didn't miss me too much, or maybe they were happy I was gone. I don't know. I wasn't sick or anything, had no August COVID Delta variant or anything like that. Just took a nice relaxing vacation. But I'm back now, and hopefully we'll keep back to our schedule of doing a Crisis Point Live on Tuesdays and an interview on Fridays. I have a great interview coming up this Friday that I think you'll all enjoy. Before I get started on today's topic, though, I just want to encourage everybody to like and subscribe to the podcast, to this episode, either at YouTube or wherever you're listening to this podcast. However you're listening to it, make sure you subscribe. Like, also, if you want to give a review at the I think it's the Apple Podcast. That's a pretty good place to give a review that people see, and it can really help promote the show. Okay, so the big news recently, this, I'm recording this in August of 2021, is the withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan. The end of the Afghan war. It's been the longest war in American history, 20 years. And although I will say calling it the Afghan War is itself a misnomer, because it was never declared, Congress never declared war in this situation. And according to the U.S. Constitution, the United States has to declare, has to declare war in order for it to be an actual war. But I think people call it the Afghan War, so I'm going to do that. We call it the Afghan Conflict, whatever you want to call it, doesn't really matter. But the point is now it's over, and the cost, or it's almost over, I should say. And I'm not going to focus here on the withdrawal, what's going on. I know that's the big controversy a lot of people are talking about, is how the withdrawal is actually happening. To be quite honest, I'm just happy that it's almost over, and I hope we get everybody over here, back here safely soon. I want to focus more on the beginning of the war and whether or not this war was ever a just war or not, because I think that's an important question, because how this conflict was justified is how other conflicts have been justified in recent history, in American history. And I think as Catholics, we need to look at this very carefully to see if this was actually a just war ever. Maybe it was a just war, then it didn't become one. Maybe it was never just war. Maybe it still was a just war the whole 20 years. Okay, so first, I just want to give a list the cost, in a sense, of this war. And there are some debates about these figures, but I think these are relatively safe, the ones I give. Over 6,000 Americans have died in the Afghan war, either military personnel, contractors, or civilians. 66,000 Afghan military or police died. Over 47,000 Afghan civilians died. Over 51,000 Taliban or other fighters have died. That adds up to over 170,000 people who have died in those 20 years. Now, more literally, the cost, it is cost. Now, again, this is debatable. The lowest estimate I've heard is it has cost us $1 trillion. Now, I think it's more realistic, probably around $2 trillion or so. I've heard estimates as high as $3 or $4 trillion, even higher, but about $2 trillion. That, just to put in perspective, is about $270 million spent every single day for 20 years. And it's even worse than that, though, as far as the cost goes, because this was all debt financed. And the interest on this, the cost of this war, will end up being over $8 trillion. I'm sorry, will be over $6 trillion over the next maybe 30 years, just on the interest alone. So we're talking over $8 trillion at least for this war. So to say it's the most costly war and the longest war is pretty safe to say in American history. Now, it's obviously also a lost war. I mean, there's just no other way to put it than to say we lost. The Americans lost. How can we say anything else when one of the primary objectives of this war, this conflict, was to remove the Taliban from power? And less than 48 hours after we withdrew, or mostly withdrew, the Taliban took over. I mean, how is that anything other than a lost war? And so I just think we have to recognize that this was a very costly war and it was a lost war. Now, I do want to say that doesn't necessarily mean it's not a just war. A country can go into war for a just cause and lose, and it can cost a lot of money. So I don't want to make it sound like it's just a the fact that it's a lost war and it's a costly war. That doesn't have anything to do with the calculation whether or not it was a just war. A war can be very just and you can lose and it can cost a lot of money. That's the fact. Now, what I think we need to do is look to see whether or not it's a just war. This is an important issue. Now, one of my pet peeves, I hate how everything is called a pro-life issue these days. And those who are listening out watching, I am giving air quotes to pro-life issue. I mean, basically, whether or not we sing folk songs at mass has become a pro-life issue. I mean, it's unbelievable how everything we see now is a pro-life issue. Immigration, critical race theory, race relations, everything's a pro-life issue now. COVID, obviously, it's a pro-life issue. And that's just malarkey. We all know a pro-life issue. It's a life or death issue where we're talking about whether or not you can kill somebody or not. Well, I do think war actually is, though, a pro-life issue. Like abortion. Abortion obviously is the most pressing pro-life issue in America today. But war also is, because we are talking about, like I said, over 170,000 people who died. And so whether or not it's just or not really does matter. And so we do have to look at this from a Catholic perspective of whether or not it is a just war. And we need to look at it from a Catholic perspective, not American perspective. Because the fact of the matter is, even though I'm American, I would be willing to bet that most of our listeners are American. Most readers of Crisis I know come from America. A majority of them come from America, although we have a decent amount of readership in Europe and in Australia and some other places. But the majority is American, and it's an American magazine. We can't look at it from simply an American standpoint. We have to look at it from a Catholic standpoint. Now, I will say, at the beginning of this conflict back in 20 years ago in 2001 after 9/11, this was considered by many people a good war and has been considered a good war, so to speak, a just war by a lot of Catholics. Even those who oppose Iraq War II or Iraq War I or whatever, they actually would say this was a just war because obviously we were attacked. We were attacked by Osama bin Laden and his people. We had thousands of Americans were killed. Obviously, it would be just to respond to that. You can't just act like that didn't happen or just not do anything. In fact, that would be unjust. If America had done nothing in response to 9/11, that would actually be as unjust as doing something, some other action. Okay, so, somebody asked real quick in the comments, and feel free to ask questions in the comments. Is that just the American cost or other countries as well? The cost of the $2 trillion was American only. I don't know what other countries spent on it. That's just the American cost for it. Okay, so, but like I was going back and I was looking at Crisis Magazine from back in 2001. We have all the print archives on the website, and I wanted to see what Crisis authors were saying back then about this. And it was interesting. I thought, you know, Crisis has the reputation of being a neocon Catholic magazine, at least in the past. And so I kind of thought there might be drumbeats for war, but I was happy that, you know, there was an article by Robert George that was published in November of 2011 that basically urged that the response to terrorism would be just. Now, it said some things that were that we found in hindsight, and we'll see, I'll show this later in the podcast, to be untrue. I mean, not that Robert George could have known this, but he said, for example, a just war can be waged only as a last result. All reasonable nonviolent options must be explored before force can be justified. George writes, in current circumstances, however, the United States and its allies have exhausted every means short of war to deter and disable the forces of international terrorism. And that's something we'll see actually probably wasn't true, but he didn't necessarily know that at the time because we were lied to a lot during this war. Okay, so the point of it is, though, let's look at the origin of the Afghan war and ask ourselves, was it a just war? First, though, we do have to answer the question, what is a just war? Now, I'm going to go through 7 different requirements for a war to be just by the Catholic tradition. 3 of them are going to come from the Summa Theologica from St. Thomas Aquinas, and 4 from the current Catechism of the Catholic Church. They overlap a little bit, but they really are different. So a just war, first, the authority of the sovereign by whose command the war is to be waged. What this means is the proper authority has to order the war. A private citizen, I can't say, okay, America, let's go to war now. I don't have that authority. Now, of course, in Aquinas' time, the sovereign would be the king or the emperor who would declare it. However, in America, the proper authority is Congress. And I already mentioned, and we'll get into this more later, I already mentioned that Congress never declared war in this case. Okay, the second requirement, according to Aquinas, of a just war is a just cause is required, namely that those who are attacked should be attacked because they deserve it on account of some fault. Obviously, this kind of is self-explanatory. You have to have a reason to attack somebody because they have to have some reason they did something wrong in order to deserve being attacked. The third requirement of Aquinas is it is necessary that the belligerent should have a rightful intention, so that they intend the advancement of good or the avoidance of evil. So you basically can't attack somebody because you want to take over their territory, for example. You have to have some advancement of good, some rightful intention. If, for example, a country has some resource you want, you can't just attack them for that. Okay, those are the three requirements of a just war according to Aquinas. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the new one, the one that was issued first in 1992, it has four requirements of a just war. The first is the damage inflicted by the aggressor on the nation or community of nations must be lasting, grave, and certain. In other words, if somebody does something to you that is relatively minor, a country does something relatively minor, you can't just go to war over that. It has to be some serious offense in order to go to war. The second requirement of the Catechism is all other means of putting an end to it must have been shown to be impractical or ineffective. You can't go to war if there's some other way to resolve the conflict that doesn't involve killing people or destroying things. The third requirement of the Catechism is there must be serious prospects of success. This is kind of an interesting one because it's a prudential judgment. You don't go to war if you know you're going to get destroyed. I mean, honestly, if you're a weak country, you can't necessarily go to war if you're not going to succeed. You might go in the sense of like it's your only option, but you have to have some idea that you're going to be successful. And the fourth requirement the Catechism gives for a just war is the use of arms must not produce evils and disorders graver than the evil to be eliminated. This is a very important one. War causes a lot of damage, a lot of problems. And if going to war will cause greater problems than the evil that was already trying to be eliminated, that could be an issue. Okay, so those are the seven requirements. I think all of them are fine. I mean, some people might argue that the Aquinas arguments are more powerful, or maybe they think the new catechism. I think every one of those seems to be a legitimate reason, a legitimate requirement before you go to war. Okay, so now that we've kind of gone through these different reasons that you can have a just war, let's look at the Afghan war in particular. And what we're looking at specifically is the origin of the Afghan war. When it started, was it just? I think most Catholics would agree that you couldn't rationalize all 20 years of the conflict and everything that's happened in it. And that's another thing. You can have a just war with unjust actions that happen in it. You could go to war for a just reason, but then maybe one of your generals orders something like the killing of civilians that is unjust. And so you can't just, you know, it's a little bit more than just yes or no, whether or not something's just. So what I'm looking at is, was our reasoning, the origin of the Afghan war, was it just? Now, we know that the origin of it, obviously, was the 9/11 attacks. Now, I would be willing to bet a lot of our listeners either weren't alive on 9/11, or they were too young to remember it, which kind of blows me away since I'm so old at this point. It was 20 years ago. I remember it very well. I was living right outside Washington, D.C. I actually remember I was at work, which was right a suburb right outside D.C., and I remember seeing fighter jets being deployed overhead. I've never seen that before in my life, and they're like literally flying over Rockville, Maryland, for those who know the area, which right in D.C., because they were getting deployed, because at that point, it was like, that was probably like around noon or so that day, so just a couple hours after this, and obviously, we had no idea if there was going to be more attacks. I mean, that day was just so chaotic. People were saying the White House had been attacked, the Capitol building had been attacked. You know, obviously the Pentagon had gotten attacked and the World Trade Center towers. So it was a very emotional time going on right there, a lot of confusion. And a lot of us wanted payback. I mean, obviously this had not happened. I mean, technically since 1812, it had not happened in America, that America itself had been attacked. I'm not talking about the Civil War, of course, but from a foreign power attacking us or some foreign entity. And now all of a sudden we are attacked. Most of us, it just blew us away. We really didn't know what was going on or how to respond, but most of us wanted to respond. Now, just the idea though that we got attacked doesn't mean every response could be legitimate. If I'm walking down the street and somebody trips me, I can't pull out my gun and shoot him. I can't even necessarily hit him. I can't also hit a guy next to him. I have to respond to what happened to me. Now, 9/11, we discovered that was engineered by Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. And it's important to note that it was not orchestrated by the Taliban. It was not orchestrated by Afghanistan. And in fact, bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, none of them were Afghani. None of the attackers, 9/11 attackers, or Osama bin Laden were Afghani. Now, the truth is they were hiding. They were in Afghanistan. And the Taliban was running Afghanistan at that time. And they controlled it. And so the argument went, well, the Taliban's giving them safe harbor. And so therefore, that the Taliban is a problem just as much as Al-Qaeda did. However, and by the way, I'm going to get a lot of this information. Some of this information I'm going to give you are from two excellent books, both by Scott Horton. And one is called Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. He wrote this, what year was this published? I think 2017 or something like that. And it gives a lot of information about the war and how we went into it and things like that. I do not see what the year it was published. I think it was 2017. And another book just published this year is Enough Already, Time to End the War on Terrorism. And that has a couple chapters on this. But one of the things that we don't really remember is that Taliban, first of all, they took power in around 1996, and they were supported by the American government, by Bill Clinton's administration and all the neocons. They supported that. They thought that was a good thing. They figured they were a better Islamic group than other options. And the leader of Taliban at the time, Mullah Omar, he hated Osama bin Laden. He resented him. He actually was quoted as saying a few months before 9/11 that bin Laden was a chicken bone stuck in his throat that he can't swallow or spit out. He wanted nothing more than to get rid of bin Laden. And the fact is that he wanted to help the U.S. capture or kill Osama bin Laden since 1998, for 3 years before 9/11. And so the other thing we have to note about the Taliban is, although we know that they're evil, I mean, a lot of the aspects of the Taliban are oppressive and evil, and they're bad guys. But the other groups and warlords in Afghanistan, they're bad guys too. There's all this big push about we can't leave Afghanistan because it's going to hurt women's rights in Afghanistan because the Taliban are so bad on women's rights. Well, an excuse for those who are listening, I will try to say delicately because I know some kids sometimes are listening to this. The other warlords, they do bad things to little boys. And so it's just like, you know, the idea that one group is saintly and the other group is evil is just not how it works over there. All of them essentially are evil. And so the idea that the Taliban is some worse organization is not necessarily true over there, even though we wouldn't obviously say that the Taliban is a good organization. Well, after 9/11, the Taliban offered to America to extradite bin Laden and any of his his cohorts to a Muslim country if evidence was provided that bin Laden was involved in 9/11. That was their initial offer. And Bush immediately rejected it as negotiating with terrorists. President George W. Bush, of course, who I'm talking about here. After the bombing started on October 8th, 2001, they offered to give up bin Laden to any third country without evidence. They said they're not going to hand him over to America, but they'll hand him over to any other country other than America with no proof. But Bush rejected this. President Bush rejected this offer. And he didn't basically want a trial. And what we're going to see is, and I believe, and I think there's a lot of evidence to prove it, that he didn't really want to capture Osama bin Laden. He definitely didn't want him dead. Because bin Laden's existence, his life being out there as a target, helped fuel the war on terror that President Bush was trying to push. And in what happened was, is that a lot of people don't remember this or weren't alive or don't remember, is that we had them on the run. We started bombing in October. We went over there and we had bin Laden and his people on the run. And in December of 2001, we basically had him and we could have captured him. We likely could have captured him. Can't say for sure, of course, but he escaped. And a lot of people think there's a lot of evidence to show this, that he actually was allowed to escape by America, either through incompetence or intentionally. In fact, there's I'm reading from the Enough Already book by Scott Horton. It was saying that James Mattis, who became the Secretary of Defense under President Donald Trump later, had 4,000 Marines nearby in the Kandahar province. He claimed to have requested permission to get into the fight, but none of them were allowed to back up the Delta Force and the local Eastern Alliance militia proxies at Tora Bora, despite repeated requests from the commanders in charge of the mission on the ground. And basically, and there's more evidence of that as well, and that, you know, Gary Bernstein, the second CIA commander in the field in charge of the early part of the war, he said that he and his superiors begged for reinforcement for weeks and weeks, were consistently told no. And he basically was saying, we can get bin Laden, we can capture him, we can get his people if we just have more troops. And they had troops available, but the commander-in-chief, Bush, and whoever else in charge, refused to give that to him, refused to give them the support. Because at that point, by December 2001, President Bush had already shifted to a war on terror rather than a war against the Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. He wanted a more generic war than just capturing bin Laden. And in fact, at this point, and soon afterwards, he basically announces at State of Union a month later that he was no longer focused on, basically he was no longer focused on getting bin Laden, but was on, and he now wanted to topple the Taliban and spread democracy, rebuild Afghanistan, i.e. nation building, regime change. And so what's happening here is we have a situation in which we're no longer going after the people who attack us. We're going after this whole, what we consider a network, a worldview of other nations. Remember, the Taliban did not attack us. Yes, they possibly gave safe harbor to Al-Qaeda. But again, they offered to give up bin Laden very quickly. And we refused, we meaning the U.S. government, President Bush and his people, refused to give it. And so there's a lot of what ifs we have here about the early days of the Afghan war. A lot of people believe, and I'm one of them, believe that the war could have been over in December of 2001. It could have been a two-month war, a conflict, basically, where we take out bin Laden, we capture him or kill him, we take out the top leadership of Al-Qaeda, and we show, if you attack us, we will kill you. We will destroy you. But instead, Osama bin Laden was allowed to escape, either through incompetence or intentionally. And he lived for another 10 years. Now, I can't remember exactly what year I think it was 2011 he died. I can't remember what year he died, but about another decade. And we got involved not only in Afghanistan, but also Iraq and other places. And so there's a lot of what ifs. If we had done what we should have done, which is go after bin Laden and his people alone, we might have been able to negotiate the extradition of him. Yeah, maybe that's unrealistic. And I grant that. That might be a little bit of hindsight, 2020 vision. But the fact of the matter is Bush never had any desire. He considered it negotiating with terrorists if he allowed the Taliban to give over bin Laden, which already shows he's going after the Taliban, not bin Laden. Because if he was going after bin Laden alone, why wouldn't he accept bin Laden and the other Al-Qaeda leaders? And yeah, keep an eye on the Taliban, maybe do something else with that. But essentially, he didn't want bin Laden. And even if it wasn't possible to get him from extradition, to get bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda leaders, it could have been that we could have ended the war in a few months. Again, Gary Bernstein, who I mentioned was a high-ranking anti-terrorism CIA agent officer who was involved very much in the initial days of this war. He said the war could have been over pretty quickly. We could have had the entire Al-Qaeda command structure had we done that. Also, the terrorism that developed into Pakistan might not have happened. And so again, We never tried to negotiate, not even negotiate, I'm sorry. We never even tried to get bin Laden through means other than military. And when we had bin Laden on the ropes, we essentially pulled back. We didn't really go after bin Laden because at that point we were already attacking the Taliban. And we were already, I mean, this is, I'm not going to go through this on this podcast, but there's a lot of evidence we were already thinking of Iraq. We meaning Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and Bush and people like that. Okay, so essentially this 20-year war in Afghanistan wasn't only wasn't just a response to 9/11, but instead 9/11 was used as a reason to nation build around the world, both in Afghanistan, Iraq, and if we had had our way, other places as well. So now we have to go, come back to the question, the original question, was the Afghan war a just war? So let's go through again the different, let me find my notes. Where do I have that? Oh, here we go. Nope. Oh, there it is. Let's go through the seven different requirements for a just war, according to the three according to Aquinas and the four according to the Catechism. And let's see, does it qualify? So the first one again is the authority of the sovereign by whose command the war is to be waged. Well, oops, sorry. Fail. Because Congress did never authorize a war. And yes, it is true, Congress did authorize some funds for a conflict. But in America, the Constitution is that the Congress has to declare war, and it never did. So on that first requirement alone, it already fails. And by the way, in order to be a just war, all of these have to pass. All of these have to be true, not just one or two of them. So it failed on that one. The second requirement is a just cause is required, namely that those who are attacked should be attacked because they deserve it on account of some fault. This one I'm going to give a fail, simply because from the beginning, we were going after the Taliban. And I think that's an important point. I think somebody could argue with me on this one, and I'm willing to accept that, that possibly you say, well, we did go after bin Laden at first. But the fact of the matter is, in hindsight, it looks very clear we were never going after just bin Laden, the person who actually attacked us. We were going after the Taliban. We were looking to overthrow that government. And by the way, the Taliban was the Afghani government. It's not like the Taliban was some foreign invasion force of Afghanistan. I'm not saying that they're good guys. I'm just saying that's they were the actual government of Afghanistan. So that's not who went after us. The third is, it is necessary that the belligerent should have a rightful intention so that they intend the advancement of good or the avoidance of evil. I would say this one fails as well, simply because if they went just after bin Laden, then I think this would be yes. This passes that test. However, the war was nation building. The war was regime change. And under that, I don't see how you could say that is a rightful intention. Because us, the Americans, trying to overthrow other countries' governments, whether we like them or not, is not a rightful intention. So it fails on that one as well. Okay, now go through the catechism reasons. The damage inflicted by the aggressor on the nation or community of nations must be lasting, grave, and certain. I think this is a yes, pass. Bin Laden attacking and Al-Qaeda attacking on 9/11, that is a lasting, grave, and certain damage. I mean, there's no question. If you leave that alone, if you don't do anything, that would be unjust, like I said already. So I think it does pass this requirement of a just war. Okay, the second one of the catechism is, all of the means of putting it to an end to it have been shown to be impractical or ineffective. I think it fails miserably on this one, simply based on the fact that we had a chance to extradite We didn't even try it. I'm not saying that the Taliban would have necessarily honored that. Obviously, they might not have. But it wasn't like bin Laden was going anywhere. And so we could have given at least a month or two to try to extradite him. And if it looks like they're playing games with us, fine. We go after bin Laden then. But I think that definitely fails that requirement. Okay, the third requirement from the catechism, there must be a serious prospects of success. Okay, this one, again, if we go with the, I'm going to say it fails simply because we're not going after just bin Laden. The idea that we had a chance of success to rebuild, like insert through military force democracy in Afghanistan is just laughable on its face. And people were saying it back then. People like Pat Buchanan and others were saying it. But of course, the neocons would have nothing to do with that. But it's just ridiculous to think that you can institute democracy in a culture like Afghanistan's from foreign military force. Now, if it was just going after bin Laden, we did have a reason for success, and that would have been justified. That would have passed on that. And the final aspect would be the use of arms must not produce evils and disorders graver than the evil to be eliminated. I think this one is a fail as well, simply because the ill will that's gone against America from our actions has been great, very grave. And because of all our nation building and regime change and having bases over there so much, I think there's actually probably more animosity against America today than there was before 9/11. Definitely the sympathy we gained right after 9/11. Like, I don't know if people realize this, but in September of 2001, after 9/11, the whole world was on our side, except for a few, you know, crazies. The whole world was on our side, and we completely obliterated that by our actions. And so now we have a lot of anti-American hatred. Some of it obviously is unjustified, but frankly, some of it's justified based upon what we've done. And so if you look at these 7 different requirements, that's not a very good grade. 6 out of the 7 we fail at. I think you could argue a little bit on a couple of those, but in general, I think it essentially, you know, failed on all those points. Now, really, I think the problem was, could we have had a just war in Afghanistan? I think if we first had tried to extradite bin Laden and the top al-Qaeda commanders, and I don't even think we had to have done that very long, but if we had tried that first and it failed, and then we went into Afghanistan after bin Laden and his people and captured and killed him, that's a just war in my mind, because he attacked us. He has a network. It's not a nation, but he has a network, an organization that attacked us and killed our people. We can go and do likewise to him. We can go after him, put him on trial, or even kill him if we have to. And so I do think it could have been a just war. I think it would have been very short. I think we would have gotten him in a few months. If he hadn't been extradited, we could have gotten him in a few months. So yes, I think it could have been a just war. I don't think at all it was a just war, what we actually had. I mean, think about all the things that have happened because of this. Because of this, the response to 9/11, not 9/11 itself, we had this unjust war that lasted for 20 years, cost so much, cost so many lives, cost so much money. We have this generic war on terror that led to us attacking Iraq for absolutely nothing connected to 9/11. I mean, that's been proven over and over again. So we had all the cost in lives and money and everything in Iraq as well. That's happened. That's another grave evil that's happened. We have things like the Patriot Act, which, you know, everybody was all supportive of, but we see now, hopefully conservatives see now what a disaster that's been, the Patriot Act has been. We see how the fact that this war on terrorism has now transformed into let's look after domestic terrorists, which I think a lot of us conservative Catholics know we're on that list of quote unquote domestic terrorists because we don't go along with whatever the current regime says, like on COVID or whatever. In fact, that was actually listed as a potential domestic terrorist, somebody who doesn't go along with the COVID restrictions. And so that's something that morphed out of 9/11 and Bush's generic war on terror. And so there's a lot of evils that have been happened that have been from 9/11 that wasn't 9/11 itself. And honestly, you gotta just say that bin Laden won. I mean, yes, I know he's dead now, but he got what he wanted. He got this war on terror works in his favor, because what it does is it just gets more people sympathetic to his cause because of what America does over there. Plus, it destroys our nation, our freedoms, for example, with the Patriot Act, and now this idea of domestic terrorism, this infinite, unending war on terror. So I think we have to just say that bin Laden got what he wanted, essentially, when he did this, and it wasn't necessary for that to happen. So I think we have to learn a lesson from this. Let me just wrap it up with this. Conservative Catholics, I know we tend to be very patriotic, which is a good thing. Patriotism is a virtue, and we should be patriotic. We should love our country. But loving our country does not mean loving our government everything it does. We need to be much more critical of American foreign policy than we are, especially when it comes to the use of force. The fact is, I would argue personally that not one American conflict in my lifetime, and you can guess how old I am, has been truly a just war. And so I just think we have to be more critical. We have to be very much more willing to criticize American involvement in other countries, especially military involvement. And I know, again, the current withdrawal, we can have very legitimate criticisms of the current withdrawal and how the Biden administration is handling that. But I think we do have to look a lot more closely at our involvement in these countries, our military involvement, and see that they do not fall under Catholic just war principles. And so let's not be neocons that want war in every situation, want conflict in every situation. But let's actually be for peace and try to keep peace. And if somebody attacks us, yes, we go after them. And we go after the people who actually attacked us in a just and in a just way by the Catholic tradition. Okay, well, that's it for now. Like I said, I think you're going to have, enjoy the interview I'm going to have coming up on Friday. I think it's an exciting one, and we'll continue to do these going forward. If you have any suggestions, by the way, for future podcast guests or topics, feel free to drop them in the comments on any of these videos, and I'll check them out. So until next time, though, God love you.